Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Praise God. So, media tried. Help us get Slido for questions. I really wanted to do question and answers. I feel like people have questions in their heart. But because I didn't announce it ahead, that's the reason why I will do it later. So I'll cut short my conversation today. Then I'll take question and answer. I want people to always have that opportunity. Sometimes when we have thought for a long time, we need to be able to ask questions and get answers. But I want to start something interesting, but I hope I finish. I want to do a teaching on the book of Philippians. It's about four verses, four chapters thereabout, and I want to do a teaching. So I'm going to start from Philippians chapter 1 today, and let's see how far we can go. I'll just break it down line upon line, verse by verse. Yes, some verses will need deeper explanation and meaning than some other verses. So we'll just break it down like that. So give us Philippians. I'll be working with NIV Amplified Version and maybe KJV here and there. NIV Amplified Version and KJV here and there. How many of us have read the book of Philippians before? You have read it before? Philippians? Okay. So I will be doing a little bit of teaching on that, on the book of Philippians. Oh, thank you, Jesus. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, put out your power and love, I sing holy, holy, holy. I see you high and lifted up, shining
in the light of your glory.
Oh,
pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. So we see Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. So we'll see Paul here writing to the people in Philippi, and like in some of his other letters, he had to introduce himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But here, he just went straight to the point. And that shows the level of familiarity and the fellowship that they had. So he didn't need to do any serious introduction. He just explained to them, this is Paul. In fact, Timothy, his protege, he mentioned the names together. And just said, Paul and Timothy, are we here together? Just introducing himself to them, because we're already familiar. You know me already. Please get back to verse 1. Well, it's a verse by verse stuff. So, verse 1, please. So, servants of Christ Jesus. The believer must come to the place where you get to understand that we are not just sons of God, we are also servants of God. And when we talk about servants here, we're not talking about the servants with a title, pastoral servant of God. So when you see a servant of God, he's like a man of God. No, we're talking about dolos, love slaves. Love slaves. That means in those days, the word dolos, their servant, means a servant that has so fallen in love with the master that the servant refused to leave the master. Why? The master has treated me so well. Where am I going? What else am I looking for? That's the kind of servant you're talking about here. Dolos. So Paul is saying here, Paul and Timothy, that we are servants of Christ Jesus. We are not exalting ourselves you know, to receive a special title, like apostle, you know, prophet. I do that. But now I want to refer to myself in just this simple form. I am a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, there are many people in church sometimes when they have titles and you don't call them their titles, they get very angry. So why kind of things are you should know that I am supposed to be? Why did you call me that? Now, this is the great Apostle Paul introducing himself here in Philippians chapter 1. And he said, Paul and Timothy, putting himself side by side, Timothy. He didn't try to say Apostle Paul and my boy Timothy. There are times where he would have said, oh, my son Timothy. But just to show that all those ones apply. But this, I want you to also know that we can come to that point where we are, you know, cool-headed. That those things don't really move us. So if somebody doesn't say, oh, apostle, or somebody doesn't say, oh, prophet, or somebody doesn't call a title, some people get very pissed off. Or there's a position you occupy, and you feel like people should know that I occupy this position. Now, of course, the people of the world don't mind. They like to be called, and it's good to call people by whatever title they are called generally, so that it doesn't look like you're trying to slide them. But in this context, we are saying that Paul is introducing them to the whole church. This is a church that knows Paul and they know him as an apostle. And he said, servants of Christ Jesus. And when it has to do with Christ Jesus, we are servants. When it has to do with Christ Jesus, we don't exalt ourselves. When it has to do with Christ Jesus, we are people who have yielded and humbled ourselves, displaying ourselves as those called to serve. A servant is a waiter. A servant is somebody who waits another person, who gives support to another person, waiting for the next instruction. Paul said, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And he said to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. He gave those ones their title, he took his own away. Overseers and deacons. He said, but me, Paul and Timothy. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Just to show that, see, it's not a big deal. Who knows? Maybe they're already having issues and the overseers will not be happy if they are not called overseers and the deacons will not be excited. So he just started the letter and tried to show them that these things don't count. And I like the way Paul puts it here. He said, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Now, that means all the members of the church in Philippi, Paul didn't look at them from the standpoint of the flesh. He saw them in Christ. So he said, they are God's holy people, they are saints. That's what we are in Christ, is that not? Are you aware of that? Because there are times where the devil begins to bring a sense of condemnation. There are times where the devil begins to make you feel like you are not saint enough. You're not saint enough because of this, because of that, because of all that. You need to remind yourself again, because the consciousness of the fact that you are a saint is what helps you to stay away from unsaintly things. Permit my English. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The conscience that you know, but if you feel like you are not a saint, yeah, since I'm not a saint, now I'm normal. But when you remember that you are a saint, I am a saint. Somebody say I'm a saint. Those days, people have to die before they recognize them as saints. So they have to say, Saint this, Saint Andronicus, Saint this, and all that. Mention big, big names. And they have to die after they have finished the assignment on the face of the earth. And they die. They will now qualify to be called saints. But Paul said, not so. Everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ into their heart as their Lord and Savior, they are qualified to be called what? Saints. Can somebody say, I'm a saint? I know you don't feel like it. I understand. You don't have to feel like it. It's a finished work. You just need to key into it, step into it. You need to come to the consciousness. You need to acknowledge what you have in Christ Jesus. You need to acknowledge who you are in Christ Jesus. Acknowledging it helps the communication of your faith to become more effective. Paul said that the communication of our faith will be effective and effectual by acknowledging the good things that we already have in Christ Jesus. The world says everything about you. This one says all that. But you say, no, I know who I am. I'm a new creation. I am a saint. I'm a child of God. I am saved. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Let that understanding sink, because it will help you. And the reason many believers do not have a healthy self-esteem is because they don't even know who they are in Christ. So they have a very weak and low self-esteem. They are very comfortable when they are called things like, you know, we are sinners, you know, we are bad people, you know, everybody is a bad person. And some people like it. Anytime you have congregation of negativities, some people qualify themselves there. Have you been there before where people, you know, those days when you're in school, you go to the board and people get zero. You say, we are many. We. You put yourself among the we that had the zero. We the masses. We the poor people of the nation. Why do you put yourself there? Why not see from your mind and say, no, I know who I am. That's why the Bible says, let the weak say I am strong. In other words, though it looks like they are weak, but they declare what? Strength. Though it looks like they are poor, they declare what? Wealth. Because that's where we really are in Christ Jesus. It might not be your present manifestation, but I tell you, it's the reality of the position you occupy in Christ. All you need to do is to walk out with fear and trembling the things that God has made you already. Are we here together, church? Does it make any sense to somebody here? So Paul is saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. So if somebody meets you on the road and say, oh, servant of God. You say, I know, very good. No, you're a servant of God. If they call you man of God, it is good. If you're a married man, if your wife calls you man of God, it helps you to not misbehave a lot. Glory to God. Yeah, and if you're a woman too, if you're misbehaving, your husband says, woman of God. No, woman of God. It has a way of helping balance your, you understand what I'm saying now? But don't forget that that's who you are. That's who you are. I'm a man of God. No, I know it sounds good because I'm here. Say it to yourself. I'm a woman of God. Say it to yourself. That's who I am. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? You need to know this. This consciousness will liberate you. This consciousness will set your heart free from guilt and fear and shame and condemnation. This consciousness will elevate you to the place where you really are. That's where you are, but you just need to catch up with your spirit. You know, our spirit man in Christ Jesus has everything complete. It is your body and your mind that is trying to catch up. Hey, are you getting what I'm saying here right now? Yes, the spirit man is made perfect. It is your body and your mind that needs to catch up. Your body needs to leave the mundane things. Your mind needs to be renewed by the word of God. Then to catch up with your spirit reality. And there are certain things that you are bothered about. They won't be a problem anymore because you now know who you are in Christ. Am I communicating, church? Yes, a few things here and there I'm going to show us, and I'm sure that we're going to learn. Amen. Oh, glory to Jesus. Sorry, please. I'm trying to pick out my teachings. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So let's move. Next verse. He says, grace and peace to you from who? And the Lord. You know, whenever we read these things in the Bible, we just read them and you just pass. You read it fast because it is not important. Is that not? It's just a greeting. Why am I reading a greeting? It's just a greeting. Paul is just greeting them. But look at the greeting again. Look at it well. No, look at it. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at this very well, that's why Bible study is different from Bible reading. Are we here together? If you look at it very well, the first thing Paul qualifies is grace. In other words, he's saying that these guys, I just told you that you are saints. And I'm reminding you again of your merited favor. That this saintly position that you occupy now, it is by grace you have been saved. Through faith, not by works. The unmerited favor of God. That the Father decided to look at your lowly estate, and despite what you are and what you used to be, He decided to exalt you. And He said, grace and peace. Peace talks about the tranquility of the soul, a state of calmness. In other words, Paul is saying, no anxiety, no worry. We have found rest in Christ. Paul is saying, I don't know what it is that you are bothered about all around. Come to the place where you tell yourself, grace and peace unto me. Somebody say, grace and peace. Can you say grace and peace is multiplied to me? I can hear you say grace and peace is multiplied to me. I live in peace. So many people are, their lives are full of anxiety and worries. They're always bothered. Hey, I don't know what to think about this. I don't know what to know. How would this be? How would that be? How would that not be? Listen. No matter what anything, no matter how bad, no matter how terrible, always remind yourself that the Prince of Peace is in the boat. And it will never sink. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here right now? The Prince of Peace is where? Is in this boat. Is in this, and it will never sink.
It will never sink.
So Paul is greeting them not just a normal greeting like we greet here. Even when somebody says good morning, it's strong, but you don't know what that means. Good morning. Good morning. Imagine somebody meets you in the morning and say bad morning. You will not feel good about that. But because it has become so casual and common, everybody just say, oh, good morning. Some people don't even say, Monza. Good morning. When somebody says good morning, it's a blessing in the morning. And Paul moved it from just greeting them based on their, you know, their day and whatever. He said, grace and peace to you. And the source is from our Father. The connection, our Father. Somebody say, our Father. It is a grace and peace from God. He says, grace and peace from our Father. In other words, saying, Daddy's saying grace and peace to you. Daddy's saying, I'm bringing grace and peace to you. I shouldn't be afraid when Daddy's saying that peace. Just imagine your daddy saying peace. You'll not be afraid. When your daddy's saying, I multiply grace to you. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? I can never be disgraced. Not when I have grace. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? He said, grace and peace to you. And it is coming from no other person than our Father. Our Father. Our Father. Hey, like our Father. In other, Paul is saying we have a common Father now. I know you have your own father and your own father and your own mother and your own father, but we have one Father. Are you getting what I'm saying now? What has brought us together? Jesus had made peace with the blood of his cross, by the cross of his blood, and has reconciled us to the Father. Now we can confidently say we have one Father, our Father. Jesus emphasized it when he was teaching the disciples to pray. He didn't say, whenever you pray, say, Father who art in heaven. Mm-mm. He said, he's my own and he's your own. Our Father who art in heaven. Does anybody get what I'm sharing this morning? This evening, rather. So you need to let it sink. Grace and peace. The combination of grace and peace is something different. You need to understand, the combination is heavy. The combination is heavy. Grace, first of all, talks about that unmerited favor, undeserved favor. Now, I don't deserve it. I do not merit it. But God has decided to lavish it on me so that I am not condemned and I'm not living in a state of shame and disgrace. No, because the thing that I have become today, it is not by myself. It is not by my works. I didn't qualify myself. God counted me worthy. Hey, are you getting what I'm saying here right now? It's a reminder. Just imagine somebody writing a letter to you, and the first thing they are telling you is that don't forget about your past. You are not who you used to be. Grace has brought you this far. I said this grace came from our Father. And it says peace is increased upon this thing. Not just grace alone. Peace. A state of mind where you say, don't worry. Starting a letter and it's saying, calm down. All is what? Well. A songwriter, I wrote a song and I love the song. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like seas billows roar, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
It is well with my soul.
It is well, it is well. Thank you, Jesus. Say it is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Grace and peace be multiplied to you. I love the way he put it in many other translations. They say multiply. Yeah, he just said grace and peace to you from our Father. What's the source? Who gives you assurance determines how calm you are. If somebody who doesn't have anything comes to tell you it's okay, you say, okay, who told you it's okay? Don't tell me that. But if you know who's talking, are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Oh, my turn, you mean that I'm a meal. Oh, my turn, you mean that I'm a meal.
The one who knows everything says peace. The one who knows everything says, my grace is more than enough for you. Paul was speaking one day and he said, God, three times have I besought you to take away this thing from me. And he said, Paul, listen to me. My grace is made sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. When they think you are down, then I am strengthening you. When they think you cannot do anything, then my strength is exalted. He said, the Lord will raise a standard. Are you getting what I'm saying here, church? That's why he said, grace and peace from our Lord Jesus, our Father. And who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the partnership between the Father and the Son. The partnership between the Father and the Son. Why is he saying that? Grace and peace from our Father and who? Lord Jesus Christ. The third person is where? He's inside me, oh. He's inside me. So I don't need to bring greetings from the Holy Ghost because he's from here greeting. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The greeting is there. He says, he said, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that the Holy Ghost lives inside here, we now have fellowship with him. Why do I have to greet somebody I have fellowship with every day? Hey, are you getting what I'm saying here? I have fellowship. He lives inside of me. So Paul is writing a letter to them, knowing that we are the ones carrying, we are hosting the ghost now. So when we're talking about these things, I'm reminding you that he that is seated on the throne and the one at his right hand, they are bringing greetings, knowing fully well that the Holy Ghost is here. And not just that he's on the face of the earth, he's now inside of you. That's the assurance. Why? He's the seal. He's the deposit. Is anybody getting what I'm saying now? The seal of our deliverance, the seal of our redemption. He lives inside of me. So regardless of whatever it is, remind yourself, if you ever think that your life is going to be a mess, not when the Holy Ghost is living inside of here. Are you getting what I'm saying, child of God? If the devil ever reminds you that you're not going to amount to anything, ask him, who exactly are you talking about? Is it God the Father, the Son that brings me greeting, or the Holy Ghost living inside of me? Which one are you talking about? Because I'm a different person. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? The understanding of these things, as little as they are, when you read and light jumps to you, it's different. Somebody else would have read it just like a normal letter and say, grace and peace of Jesus Christ, another amen. No. Are you getting? Let's move a little bit for time's sake so that I can be fast. Verse 3 now. I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank my God every time I remember you. In other words, the memory of you results in thanksgiving. Every time I remember you, I release thanks to God. And every time I give thanks, God is saying, who are you thanking for? He says, this person. How many of us as believers, do you have people that you remember and you thank God for? You know why Paul was doing this? Paul could do this because he had protege. He had people he had preached to. He had disciples. And that's why I want to charge us. Do you have disciples? Are there people that you are nurturing in the faith? So that when you remember them, what are the things that Paul remembered that made him thank God? He remember where they picked them from the slum. He remember how their life used to be. He remember what they would have looked like. So anytime he pictures Sandra, he says, Kai, I thank my God for Sandra, that she has escaped the corruption in her family. I thank my God for James, because he will not suffer what others have suffered. I thank my God for Philip, because I know he will not become the same again. Why? He has encountered Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? So thanksgiving comes from my heart whenever I remember you. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you. That means the memory of you usually will result in what? Thanksgiving. There should be people in your life where you remember how God used you to help them. God used you to bring them out, and you're always thanking God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? There are times where I'm praying like that, and as I'm worshiping God and I'm blessing God, I'm in tears already because I can remember a few people, and I say, God, hi, where would I be without you? Where would they be without you? Where would she be without you? There is no me without you. You remember some people and you say, if this person had been left in the condition he was in, or she happens to be in, without salvation, their life would have been a mess. And that makes you remember the name. And you say, Father, thank you for so-so person. Thank you for so-so person. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that thanksgiving begins to create a depth of connection and koinonia in the spirit. And that's why I want to charge every one of us to always press to that pull in your heart that you are thanking God for. People that God has used you to raise. People that God has used you to minister to. People that God has used you to bless. So that each time the memory of those people come, thanksgiving wells up in your heart. Are we here together? So remember, he's writing to a church and he's telling them, he said, I thank my God every time I remember you. In other words, I have not preached to you and left you. Many of us preach to people and we leave them. We abandon them. Well, we have spiritual orphans everywhere. They are just orphans. They don't have fathers and disciples. They don't have teachers. They don't have mentors. Because many times we preach to them, we leave them. Paul said, no, not me. He's even writing a letter to them. When was the last time you wrote a letter to somebody you brought to Christ? When was the last time you wrote a letter to somebody and said, I remember where Jesus picked you. Each time I remember you, I am glad. Each time I remember you, I see a glorious future. You are the proof of our apostleship. You are the proof and the living epistle that we serve a living God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? That's a challenge for us in that verse. Because Paul didn't mention that just for us to read it and pass by. Now, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So whenever Paul says something and I read it in scripture, I put myself in that position that this is where I'm supposed to be. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? So that in teaching scriptures, our goal is not just to get people excited and just share one or two things with them. And if, No. We have to show you your responsibility. We have to show you what you're supposed to be doing. This is, you just imagine yourself there and say, I'm giving thanks to God. And as you remember the first name, while you are still saying, thank you, Jesus, another name pops up in your mind. And you say, God, thank you. Another one pops up. You say, God, thank you. And somehow, there is this overwhelming joy that will fill your heart. The joy of having brought people to Jesus. The joy of discipling others. The joy of being a blessing to people. Instead of pushing them and condemning them and saying that they are not worth anything, you drew them close. Just as the Father would have drawn people close. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As I began to study and I began to read this thing, names, people just started coming to my mind again. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just started feeling what Paul would have been feeling in this place. How Paul would have felt that day writing this letter. I believe that in writing this letter, sometimes he would just drop his pen and start singing and dancing and saying, God, thank you. One by one, he would remember the names of these people. When God uses you to reach out to a person and it's a personal encounter, you won't forget their names. The reason you are saying everybody and all of them to point of contact, yeah, point of contact is because you don't have a contact. If you have one contact, you will remember the contact. It's because we don't remember contacts that we call point of what? Contact. So you take one and make it point of contact. But if you have personal encounter with them, I preach to this person, I talk Christ, you will remember the name of the person. Anybody get what I'm saying here? God is asking us to raise an evangelistic church, a church that knows how to reach out, a church that disciples, a church that is a blessing to others, so that we will not just, you know, talk things by ourselves, and at the end of the day, we have no substance, we have no proof. We will not be like that in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. So true fellowship, you know, that Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 1 here, he's talking about the partnership that they have in Christ and remembering them in his prayers. Now look at the next verse. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. For how many of you? In how many of my prayers? All my prayers, all of you. All my prayers, all of you. See, we need to grow. Where you come out of the place, you see, people are praying for you. We come to church like this, and in our private place as a church, we pray for all the members of this church. We pray for them, we declare over them, speak over their families. And Paul is saying here that in all my prayers for all of you. Now, Paul is calling us to the ministry of intercession. That's what I'm picking from there. That as a Christian, I'm supposed to be an intercessor. I should have people that I'm always praying for. I should have people that I'm always calling upon God on their behalf, knowing fully well that I have led them to Christ, and they might be going through crisis. They might be going through one challenge or the other. They might be going through one thing or the other. Do you know that your prayer can save somebody from something terrible that's about to happen to them? Do you know that whenever God wants to change people's life and they are not aware of what God wants to do, what he will do is to raise an intercessor, partner with somebody that will pray for them. Some of us are intercessors for our families, but we are sleeping. Some of us are supposed to be intercessors for our friends, and you are gossiping that person you are supposed to intercede for. And after the gossip, you say, when we go pray, oh, they never pray that kind of prayer. You know somebody. Can God trust you with somebody's secret information? And when you hear it, you will not go and blow off and turn it to public prophecy. God did not give you for public prophecy. He gave you for personal intercession. And there's a level you grow deep in God. It begins to reveal things about people to you. And he says, I need somebody to partner with me. Let's get this brother out. Let's get this sister out. There are sometimes you pass by the side of people. If you are very discerning, you can pass by the side of somebody and you know that in the spirit, you know that this person is struggling with pornography. It's not the time to go and say, I beg God, there's no problem. No. You sense it and you sit down. But because you don't have any proof, you understand what I'm saying now? You just start thinking about it. I say, what's happening? Somehow, it's possible that again, the consciousness will just come when you pass the person. Or somebody else now comes to you and say, do you know this person does this? Instead of saying, I said it, you would have been smart enough to say, why are you telling me? But you tell yourself, I know it. God is just giving me a confirmation so that I can go to work. And the person might not know. And the person will be testifying and say, I just thank God. The way I came out, it was miraculous. Every miracle is better than the altar of prayer. Somebody prayed you. Somebody brought you out. Because for God to walk in the realms of men, he needs intercessors, people he will partner with. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? So Paul is saying, I am always praying for. And if you look at the life of Paul, you will see it. Let me show you this. It will help. So that you will need to grow. Many of us, we need to come out of the kind of Christianity that we have known to something bigger and better. He says, look at First Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2. Paul speaking here. He said, we thank God for all of you, remembering you in our words, prayers. Look at this. We thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our word. Prayer. He's writing to those in Philippi now, is that not? And he's talking this same thing. He's writing it to what? Those in Thessalonica. In Colossians 1 verse 3, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. This is, how many churches now? He's doing it with Philippians. He's doing it with Thessalonians. He's doing it with what? The Colossians. In Romans chapter 1 verse 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being proclaimed all over the world. This is Romans now. In Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4, Paul said, I always thank my God for you because of the grace he has given to you in Christ Jesus. In other words, a major part of Paul's prayer will be thanksgiving. A major part of his prayer will be thanksgiving. A major part. Instead of you to remember the people and say, if they want to serve God, they go serve God now. After all, they called me last time and said that she has gone back. Let her go back now. Useless person. You say no. You lift up your voice and say, Father, I thank you because these are not the ones that are called to perdition. They have put their hands on the plow, they can't turn back. My seed cannot rot in the like that. In the name of Jesus, this is the seed of the righteous. I have born you in the faith. You are coming back. Satan, you can't have this one. Thank you, Father, because this one is back. Thank you, Father, because they are restored. Thank you, Father, because they are bouncing. And 2 months, 3 months back, down the line, the person calls back and says, I almost let go. I was right at the edge of my breakthrough, but I couldn't see. Everything held me. But Jesus came and helped me. He held me close, so I wouldn't let go. God's mercies helped me, so I wouldn't let go. Some of you can remember some people you should be praying for. But you join people to say things like, I thought it was going to be serious. You're not thinking as a Christianity serious. No. I thank my God always for you. I thank my God. I stay in the place of thanksgiving when I remember you. I heard of something negative, but I will not allow the devil have you. And I thank you because I know you are bringing this one back. I thank you because I know that this one is not going back to the cage and the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and his soul has escaped. Rakopatena manakapaya. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you know that in thanksgiving, the angels of God will move out into action and begin to redirect the destinies of these people? Learn to always raise people in thanksgiving. Your father is a drug addict, raise him in thanksgiving. Your brother is a chronic drug addict and terrible person, or your sister, raise them in thanksgiving. Somebody sits down there and says, my husband is so useless, raise him in thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, because I know I didn't marry a person who will not serve you. Thank you, Father, because I know that regardless, all things are working together for good. I thank you because I know that he's coming back. There's a story of a woman who prayed for her husband for several years, if not up to 30-something years. Up to 30-something years of that woman's life. And people around her knew that she prayed for her husband. She prayed for him almost all her life.
She passed on. The man was still alive. It was the people that wrote this now and said that they know so person. Her prayer point was always her husband. So the day he gave his life to Christ, they reminded him that, you see that your late wife, she interceded for you until she died. She had kept the mark of intercession on him. Now you are not going anywhere. And at the end, even when she had left, God decided to preserve the man, that he will not rot in hell, so that at the resurrection morning, they will see again. They will see again. My seed will not, my prayer will not waste. I prayed for you, I will see you again. The only opportunity she has to see that man again will be at the resurrection morning. And she didn't give up. She kept on praying till the end of her life. And that's one of the challenges that I'm trying to put forth to us today. We don't have to just give up so fast. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Say, that one, you don't go. We have lost him to Satan. We are not losing anybody to Satan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not losing my family members to Satan. I'm not losing my sister to Satan. I'm not losing my brother to Satan. Satan, you are not having any hold on any of them. Are you getting what I'm saying here, somebody, tonight? I thank God always. I always thank God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. If the grace has been given to the person and they're about to find themselves in disgrace, where grace does much more abound, sin has no hold. So you extend more grace. You extend more grace. They that have received abundance of grace. So you extend more grace. Why? Because when people are in that state, what do they need? More grace. In thanksgiving, you extend it to them. In thanksgiving, you extend it to them. In thanksgiving, you begin to bless God for them. You begin to pray for them. You begin to praise them up in the altar of prayer, thanking God for them. Not just that you are complaining. No. You are thanking God for them. There's a kind of prayer that is prophetic. I thank you, Father, because I know that this one is standing in the liberty of Christ. I thank you, Father, because I know that this one is coming back. I thank you, Father, because I know Satan cannot lay hold of this one. I thank you, Father, because I know that this person has ended his journey with this addiction. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. There's a level you will pray. Tears might be in your eyes because you know that they are there. But God will give you an assurance in your heart that it won't be long. I'm bringing them back. Am I communicating, church? So Paul speaking here. Several churches. Look at how Paul introduced all this. Several churches. The Ephesians church. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. He said, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. I love that. Ephesians 1:16. Put it on the screen, please. Ephesians 1. He said, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my what? Prayers. When you begin to mature in the things of God, you stop selfish prayers. Prayers only me. Only me. Only my own. Can I tell you the truth? The Bible said after Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored to him 7 times. The reason many people have never experienced restoration in full, they don't know how to pray for others. They are selfish believers. I hope it's not too hard, my message tonight. Is it too hard? Simple. Even if you just got born again yesterday, it's the message for you. Because there are many people, we get so used to church, we stay so much in church, we forget the basics of what God would have us do. Intercession is the believer's calling. Intercession is the believer's calling. So you must know it. And that's why you are called priests. A priest, the assignment of a priest is to intercede. So Paul is taking his position as an intercessor. And look at all the scriptures everywhere. Ephesians, he intercede. Corinthians, Romans, he intercede. So every single letter Paul wrote to those people, he wasn't deceiving them. He was telling them, I've been praying for you guys. So when Paul says, I am praying for you, he knows what he's saying. There are some people, when they say, I'm praying for you, they have left you. Because they are not sure. You know, whenever we come on Sunday, we usually say to our first-time guests, we have prayed for you. And whenever they say it from here, I'm excited because I know we prayed for them. I'm always sure. I know because we have a prayer routine that will always cover them. We have prayed for you. Lord, send them. Let it not be a coincidence. Anybody that meets with us, they have met with destiny. Lord, bring them from wherever they are. We declare that we silence the voice of Satan and the accuser. We pray those prayers consistently. So we know that when people come, it is not a coincidence. We can say it confidently. When I come to church and I tell our people that we are praying for you, I'm not saying it out of, it's a Sunday service prayer. Father, receive. No. Some people, the only time they pray for their people is when they come to the altar. There is another altar somewhere that is not his physical one. That is a real one where things are fired up from. This one is just the place of expression. That one is the place of groaning. It is a place where we birth things. We just come here to proclaim the things that we have done in the secret. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? And all of us must learn it. How to intercede for other people. how to stay on your knees and birth destinies and lives that God has attached to yours. Don't ever think that you are alone on the face of the earth. There are people attached to your life. There are people attached to you. I want you to always remember this. There are people attached to your life. Some people will say, I never go through my own trouble, finish, and to remember that person. Can I tell you, the secret to coming out of your own trouble is bearing the burden of others. The Bible says, bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You'll be shocked to know that when you carry other people's burden, you'll not remember your own exist again. And God, who carries the burden of all, will lighten your own load and strengthen you. Somebody getting my message tonight? Because this is the secret to the extraordinary result Paul got in his ministry, praying for people. I love the way he puts this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Look at how he puts it there. He says, we are obligated. In other words, we are under obligation. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. He says, I ought always to thank God for you. I ought. That means it is what I have to do. I'm under obligation. Child of God, you are under obligation to have people in your life that you are raising before God in the place of prayers. People accept Christ in their life. Many years I heard about someone who, you know, when people accept Christ in the church, people make altar call, they take the names of people and their phone number, they'll just throw it in one corner. Then a particular old woman will go and pick it and carry the names. I don't know, they don't need it. So they have kept the names. Then she will take those names and begin to intercede. Many of those people got saved many years later. The pastor got to know that that was the woman, because they didn't even have any active prayer team to pray. But one woman took the burden. One person decided that I will do that. I will handle that prayer. What if somebody wakes up and say that, God, by your spirit, I'm going to take for the next 1 month on the, maybe May, whatever, that Sunday. All the people that accept Christ in their heart that Sunday. I may not know them, but I will just channel all my prayer to them for the next 1 week. And you're just praying for them. God, every single person that came out on Sunday, may, so, they are my prayer points. They will not go back. They made a confession that they have accepted Jesus. I stand with God. I don't know their names, but you know them. I don't know their face, but you know them. But I know the date, and I saw that they came out. Lord, you are bringing them out. They are not going. Many people would be solid and established serving God than those we see outside. The reason why many believers are comfortable when they see people, unbelievers, they laugh at them in their mistakes, in their shame, in their pain, is because they don't have a passion and a burden for souls. You have passion and burden for souls. You see people that are, you go outside and you see people living a wayward life, tears will nearly drop. You will not say, he don't fall again. Tears. The Bible says, and Jesus being moved with compassion. If there's no compassion in your heart, you will never be able to do anything meaningful for God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Am I communicating tonight? I'm just going to rush this now. Verse 4, it says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray. Paul said, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? Joy. I always pray with what? Joy. I would have just left that, but with joy, there is something about it. Because some people can pray from the place of complaining. Some people can pray from the place of just, you know, we don't gossip already. Make I just tell God something. Say, God, you can help him. Help him. Mm-mm. Paul said, I'm praying from the place of joy. You know why? Every time Paul remembers these people, there is a joy that wells up in his heart. It is not happiness. It is joy. There's nothing wrong with being happy. But joy does not have a circumstantial barrier. So circumstances will not stop joy. Guess why Paul was saying that? This guy that is telling them that he's praying with joy is in prison. As somebody in prison, he should have been crying for his life and say, look at, God, after I've served you all these years, I'm now in prison. What kind of life is this? Some of us, when you are in your own situation, like I told you, that's when God is calling you to pray for others. You need to remember remember it now, because this is somebody's deliverance under the sound of my voice. You are crying for help. And God is saying, remember somebody that needs help. Mention them and see my hand bringing you out. Paul was in prison. So he should have been sorrowing and, you know, in a state of real depression. But Paul started writing. You see something Paul said as we go ahead. You see, he started writing letters. In his own condition, he raised other people up. And he said, I do this thing always. And he said, I'm not just doing it, I'm doing it with what? Joy. Joy. Overwhelming joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Paul, the joy he's talking about here is the joy we see in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. The joy, fruit of the Spirit. He said, that's how I do this prayer. I'm not just doing it because I feel like I'm doing it. There's a welling joy in my heart. When I remember you, when I remember how you came to the faith, when I remember how that God has saved you, when I remember the testimony of the things that they say happens in your life right now. And some people you are praying for, they are already saved and you are watching the way they are serving God. And you're saying, Kai. Do you know what it looks like when you see somebody you got saved, brought them into Christ, and they are passionately serving God? Do you know that to go back will be difficult for you? The reason many people draw back in the things of the faith is because they don't have anybody they are looking at that they have helped. If you have prayed people and brought them into Christ and they are passionately pursuing God, the Bible says it is your feet protected with the gospel, preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you have the protection. That person's salvation is a protection for you. So every time you think of going back and you remember the person, you say, no. How can this person's life be like this? And I will now go back. Where am I going to? I'm not going anywhere. I can't bring you to Christ and go back to crisis. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? I have found light. I brought you into light. Why should I walk back into darkness? Why should I? And that's why many of us, remember, especially when I was in secondary school, I gave my life to Christ in secondary school, and they started pushing us to evangelize to people. So it really helped us a lot, because every time you remember the guys in SS1 and you're in SS2, and you remember how, hey, this guy is already serving, he's going for evangelism, carrying Bible. If you were sitting in class before and you wanted to form, you two will carry Bible and say, let's go. Everybody will start doing. By the time you look back, this one too is safe, that one is safe. And that was how people mentored and nurtured me also. I can't forget. I still remember the names of some of them. They didn't let us go. Thank God for those kind of brothers. I don't know if we still have those kind of people in the faith today. I don't know if we have those kind of people. Many people are after their own things. Many people are after their own personal, their own. They are not concerned about others. It was a brother that sat me down and he looked at my face and he called me. He said, Oji, I said, yes, sir. He said, do you know that you are a teaching apostle? I said, I don't know. I don't understand. I said, when we don't even know whether we have call. We don't even know whether they will ring and call us. I don't even know whether I will be worthy of an angel's call. Talk more of the call of God. Somebody looked into my future and he said to me, I see the hand of God upon you. That was an encouragement for me enough. Even if I didn't know whether I had call, at least since the hand of God is upon me, let's be following the hand wherever it leads us to and see how far it has come. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? Because somebody saw something in us. I want you to go back and start seeing things in people. I want you to go back. You might even be one week old in Christ. Any person you bring to Christ tomorrow, you are spiritually older than them. And you can teach them something. Anything you learn from church, carry it as a note. Repeat it. Anything you learn, carry it. Repeat it. That is discipleship. That is how to grow others. Years after, you will remember some of them. Oh, many. There are many I still remember now. The other day, somebody sent me a note. And he said, can you remember you baptized me? I said, yes. I can remember. Same time I remember you, I just feel glad. If she remembers me and she feels glad, what happens when heaven remembers me? There is joy in heaven. There is joy in heaven. I believe. If human beings can remember the impact you have made in their life and they begin to give God thanks, I believe heaven will call and say, who are they thanking God for? Say, Mavis. Only Mavis. Today about 7 Thanksgiving has entered here and the account is Mavis' account. They check tomorrow. 15 Thanksgiving. Who? They say it's Mavis again. One day they check, they say 1 million Thanksgiving in a day. That kind of thing, no matter who is on the face of the earth that talks evil against you, it will not go anywhere. Why? Because the cloud of witnesses in heaven, they already reckon to your impact. They will never allow any shame. That's why some people, when they have worked with God a long time in their life, no matter how bad people try to fight them, they can't go down again. You know why? Heaven has put an endorsement on them that instead of this one to go down and be a mistake, instead, worst, last, we will tell the person, sleep on your bed, let's take you home. You will never end in shame. I'm telling you the truth. But impact. So wake up today and see Paul recounting in just his first opening verse. Paul is already recounting some things and giving thanks on behalf of the people that he has preached to. Glory to God. Verse 5, look at it now. Verse 5, he says, I have given thanks. I remember you always. He says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray. Why? He said, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Put amplified version. Let's see what that says there. Because of your partnership in the gospel. Now, this partnership has two meanings, not just ordinary. Look at how it says. It says, thanking God for your participation and partnership. Can you see now? Both your comforting fellowship and gracious contribution in advancing the good news regarding salvation from the first day you heard it until now. That means from the first day those guys heard about the gospel, they asked Paul, how can we support it? How can we help? What can we do? And Paul said, Kai, no wonder he will be thanking God. Look at these people. Look at what they're asking about. They didn't come and they want to be just become a liability. No, they said, what can we offer? What can we do, Paul? And Paul said, you guys have to disciple others. Said, is that all? Yeah, because I'm going to leave very soon. And they said, we will do it. But we don't know what to teach. He said, I'll be telling you. I will explain. I will stay with you for a while. Then you'll become the pastor. And among them, people that didn't look like anything, I trust Paul. He would have come and said, you are going to be the pastor. You, be the assistant. You look at the people he's calling overseer and deacons. Those that he remembered their very first day. He didn't stay with them for too long, but they participated in the gospel. You have been born again for how many years? Are you participating in the gospel? We are going for evangelism. Ah, man, now their pastor, they do that kind of thing. Now their workers, then they talk to their workers. As they announce the church, they don't talk to their workers. You, which worker are you? Say to yourself, I am part of it. Say it, I am part of it. Yes. I thank God for your participation and partnership. He had to distinguish this koinonia. The word there is koinonia. So there is a koinonia that has to do with fellowship in the spirit and fellowship with their material possession. He said it here very so. He said comforting fellowship and gracious contributions in advancing the good news regarding salvation from the first day you heard it until now. So when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they gave themselves like the Macedonian church and they brought their resources and said, Paul, will you need this one? One day, Paul was writing to these guys in Philippi, and he said to them, he said, consigning the giving of gifts. It was only you people and the Macedonian church that reached out to me. Others forgot me. Can you see what people can remember? So Paul remembered. That means this thing he's saying here. He mentioned it again, and he said, consigning giving and receiving that saints do. He said, the Macedonian church and you guys are the ones that remembered me. What's your participation? Don't just be a spectator. Be part of what is happening. There are some people that you got born again, got saved in Christ. For temporarily, when they just get born again, you are the one that will pay their transport to church. Temporarily, when they just got born again, you are the one that will be checking on them. You won't get somebody saved and say, I've done my own part, oh, church should continue. Church doesn't know them. You know them. They are your children. Have you seen a woman who gives birth to a child, and after she gives birth to the child, she walks away and say, okay, oh, your mama, they come. Who does that? Who does that? You nurture that child. You groom that child until that child is weaned and is able to stand on their own. There are many people who went back to the world because nobody stayed with them until they're able to stand on their own. I'm preaching a hard message this evening. I don't know. I don't know it's going to go like this. So in case somebody just got born again and said, this is my pastor, the fire. Yes, he's part of it. From the very first day, he started participating in the gospel. And for those of us who have been born again since, I always tell you that in the realm of the spirit, your own flogging will be higher. The angel that will flog you is Michael. It's not an angel that doesn't have name. It's angel Michael that will flog you and say, DJ. Yes, some believers need flogging. Angelic flogging. Rise and move now. You say, where am I supposed to go? You say, come on, move. Pray that God will open your eyes to know yet. I'm joking, but that's the truth when it comes to believers being relaxed. Some of us have stayed in the faith, but we are relaxed. And God has given us a beautiful platform online that sometimes you don't have to go and visit the person in their house. You can send a message to them. How are you doing today? I just thought to check on you. Yes, a scripture came to my heart, and I want to share with you. This is what God has been dealing with me with this season. And you share the scripture that God has been dealing with you with to that person. And you'll be surprised. The person will say, wow, guess what? You know why God brought that person to your heart? He wants you to share that message he gave you with that person. I prayed one day, and some of my proteges, that day I just remembered a few of them. And I sent messages to about 4 or 5. Everyone replied. And they were all saying the same thing. In fact, one particularly, he was in a confused state. And he said, this your message is my answer. What if I didn't send the message, you'd have been confused. I said, but why didn't you reach out to me since? I didn't know how to. So there are some people, they don't know how to. But God, who has taught you, he has given me the tongue of learning that I will speak a word in season. He wakens my ear. So even they don't know how to, God will waken my own ear to reach them. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I don't know this message, whether it's Sean Wally or Biko Wally. We'll close the service. I don't know if it is not for us. But I'm talking to people who should grow. When you ought to be teachers, you need again that somebody will give you the elementary things of the gospel. You desire milk when you should be going on strong bone, strong meat. Come out of that level. Just imagine every single person in church today brought one person into church. And you know when you have a true disciple, you know how you have a true disciple? If you call the disciple and say, show, they will show. If they are very busy, they will give you another date and say, I'm somewhere today. I can come next tomorrow. That's what it means to have a disciple. Anybody you cannot call and they answer, they are not your disciple. There are people, if I call now, if they are in Ibadan, Abuja, anywhere, if I call them, I want to see you next week. The only thing that can hinder them is transport. Some of them will get the transport and they will show up. These are disciples. They are disciples. Say, I'm trying. I'm calling. They are not answering. You have not eaten their heart. If you eat somebody's heart, if you call, they will answer. Are you getting what I'm saying here, church? You have not eaten to their heart. You cannot get somebody's hand when you have not entered their heart. You cannot ask for their hand when you have not entered their heart. Having labored over some people, if I call them, they will answer. If I tell the person this, they will respond. That's what you call discipleship. Am I communicating, church? So Paul said, I thank God. In other words, you guys are doing spiritual things and you are also doing material things. Some people will say, you know, I know if you go all this thing that they do, make my money go for me. Listen to me, God is not that broke. I'm not saying that you can't say use your money, but anywhere you find it, no matter how influential you are, even if the person is the governor of a state, the people in your cabinet, what's happening to them? Your security man, the people that work around, what's happening to those people? So no matter how high a person is, God will put people around your influence that you can reach. So you can't just say, let my money go. I will stay. Imagine all the disciples of Jesus Christ. Everybody says their money should go. That means the church will have surplus money, but they will have few people or nobody. So God is not just calling us to use our money. He called you to use you first. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? Yes. God is not broke. He's not so broke. I say, let my goodness. You know, and some pastors preach it confidently. They say, you know, you might not be able to go, but let your money go. Everybody can go. It might not go the same way we are going, but there's another way to go. Your money can go, and your mouth will still go to somebody around you. There's still somebody in your space. How can somebody be a believer? And you say, I don't preach the gospel at all. I cannot talk to anybody about the gospel. I just sponsor the ministry. God is not broke, oh. God can bring another person that will be doing the whole talking, highly influential, more than yourself, and he will still give the money to you. So wake up and say, God, use me. Any which ways. Those around my space. Everybody around me that I can reach out to. This gospel has to be preached. Are we here together? Glory to God. Let me start bringing it to a close. I thought I was going to do so much verses, but this is just verse 5. I love verse 6 where I'm going to stop. Amen. Wow. I love verse 6. Put verse 6. I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. Let's go up. I am convinced. Hey, church, are we here together? Paul said, I am convinced, I am confident of this very thing. Of what? He said, he who has begun a good work. Sir, a good work has started in you. You don't understand what I'm saying here. He didn't say who has begun work. He has said, who has begun what? A good work. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, God has started a good work in you. Look at another neighbor. Say, neighbor, God has started a good work in you. And I am convinced he will perfect it. Nobody is going to be an abundant project. God is not done with you. He started a good work in you. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, all of a sudden you got born again, and it's as if all hell got loose. Time, trials, pressure, temptation, everything there. And the devil is saying, go back. This is your decision. Is a hard one. It's not easy. Hey, how can you cope? Where will you stand? Tell the devil, listen to me. He who has begun a good work in me, he will complete it. Salvation is the best of works, and God has started it in you already. God has started it in you already. This is salvation. You don't know. You need to understand what salvation is. It is total deliverance from Satan and sin. It's an emancipation. God is bringing you out and saying, you are not going back to be a slave to Satan. You are not going back to slave to sin. And Paul telling them, he said, I am convinced that God who has started this good work in you, he will do what? He will do what? He will do what? Look at your neighbor, say, he will perfect it. He will perfect it. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't.
He won't.
He won't fail.
He won't fail. He won't.
Sometimes it looks like the darkness is so thick. Sometimes it looks like your decision to serve Jesus is now like the worst decision you have made. And like, why is it now like this? When I was not born again, Satan will now make you compare. I didn't find my way now. I rearranged myself. Now that I'm born again, why is it like that? He has started a good work. Satan is in a hurry to destroy you, so he rushed everything fast. God is not in a hurry because you will be with him in eternity. So in time, he's just preparing you. Yeah, you get what I'm saying here now? So you see, time is preparation, because there is an eternal destiny that we're going to spend with him. And that's why he said it. I am convinced. Put it back on the screen, please. I am convinced, I am confident that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and do what? He will continue to do what? That means it is a continuous process. God is not done with you. Can you look at your neighbor and say, God is not done with you? There's so much he's still doing with you. So much he's still doing in your life. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Don't give up on God. Because he won't give up on you. He's able. When men give up on you, God will not give up on you. When men feel like nothing is happening, God is not seeing that. God is seeing a glorious destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is looking at you and he's seeing a gem. He's seeing a precious star. He's seeing a burning light. God is looking at you and he's seeing his partner. He's seeing a co-laborer. He's seeing somebody that is putting, supporting and assisting in his work. You are not a non-entity. It doesn't matter what anybody feels. It doesn't matter how high and mighty anybody is. You are seated with the Most High. Far above principalities and powers. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? So don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything distract you. There's so many things that the devil will put everywhere to distract you, but don't get distracted. You know why? He who has begun a good work in you, he's going to perfect it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He'll perfect it. And look at it. It gives us our final destination. Complete it until the day of Jesus, the time of his return. They say, this year, Jesus, is he coming back again? He's coming back again. My Lord is coming. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again. My Lord is coming back again. Oh, glory, hallelujah.
He's coming back again.
So when the roll is gonna be, When the roll is caught up. So God has started something in you that will not end in time. It transcends into eternity. So every time the devil tries to make you live your life like you are just bound for time, remind him that you are an eternal being. Every time the devil tries to tell you that this is just your very best, remind him that we are going to shine like the brightness of the sun forever. Every time the devil tells you that everything ends here, tell him, no, 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 no. Jesus is coming back again. And listen, when Jesus made the promise, Paul was not there. And you remember, the other apostles were there. They told Paul, and apart from that, Paul had revelation. That's why Paul showed up and he said, I have received of the Lord that which I give unto you. In other words, in all that God communicated to Paul, he still told him about his coming back. And that was what Paul wrote in the book of Colossians, Corinthians, when he was writing. He said, please, don't mourn like those people who are unbelievers. He said, we shall not all sleep. That means everybody will not die. There are some people that will be alive one day and they will hear the trumpet of God sound. He said, don't mourn like unbelievers. Don't live like them. Don't act like them. No, if a believer sleeps, if they die, they have slept. And whoever sleeps in Christ, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Don't let anybody take the blessed hope away from you. Christianity has no basis and meaning if there's no blessed hope. Anything that is taught and preached anywhere in the world, if nobody reminds you about the coming back of Jesus, they have not preached Christianity. They have not preached the gospel. The gospel is about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and he's coming back for a glorious church. Anybody who has not preached it complete is just giving a half-sided message. Is anybody going to say now? And the Bible says, those of us who have this hope, we purify ourselves, even as he is pure. Those of us who remember these things, that's why we live certain lives. They say, you should be enjoying everything. You say, no. My enjoyment is in Christ. My confidence is in Christ. I enjoy everything that I have and I live in Christ. That is where my enjoyment is. Can I tell you the truth? There is nothing else that is enjoyment anywhere outside Christ. As people grow older, they will get to know it. They will get to know that if care is not taken, what they call enjoyment actually kills and destroys them. Let me explain. When people, what people call enjoyment sometimes is maybe food. They buy this for you, they buy that for you, they buy, you are working your liver, working your kidney, working your life. At the end of the day, what you call enjoyment is about killing you. True enjoyment, if you read the scriptures, true enjoyment that God has called us to, it is in this life eternal. So that is even warning us to know how we manage our bodies and live our lives. So that we can live long enough and even enjoy what we should enjoy here on earth. Because enjoyment is seeing people saved. Enjoyment is seeing the lives that you nurture. Enjoyment is seeing the glory coming out of other people. That is true enjoyment. Rice, food for the belly, belly for the food, all will perish. Sir, enjoyment is not sex. No. You don't know what enjoyment is. By the time you get to the finish line, you realize that there are certain people who are where they are right now. They have used all their bodies and they are trapped where they have had one surgery or the other and there's no sex in their life again. Those ones who have found Christ, they still have joy. Those ones who don't have Christ, they are living in regrets. That's where they will remain. That's where they will remain. When you look at the long run of everything, you see that everything God says to us to stay away from is for our good. And everything he says to us to embrace is for our good. And that's, what else will I do if I don't follow him? If he's giving an instruction, he's the captain of my salvation. When you sang the song, you said, Jesus commands my destiny. So you have to be sure he's commanding your destiny. Rise up on your feet and let us pray. I want us to pray. Briefly, we'll just pray. Tonight, I want you to pray and say, God, keep this eternal consciousness, the consciousness of eternity, the consciousness of being an intercessor, saving many others, helping others. Many of us, probably you came with a challenge in your heart. You see that your challenge doesn't matter where these things are. By the time you start interceding and praying for others, you will look back and you will not find anything again. This God, I know what he can do. This God, no. This God we serve is such a wonderful God. I want you to pray and say, God, keep it in my heart, the consciousness. Paul said, I remember you always in my prayer. As you are praying now, who can you remember? Give thanks for somebody that you can remember. Maybe a soul that you saved many years back, or somebody you just got saved in Christ. Who are you giving thanks for? Give thanks for somebody. Go ahead and give thanks. You see, if your thanksgiving bank for people is shallow, that means you have a lot of work to do. But I believe you should be able to find one or two people to give thanks for. Maybe those you brought into the faith. Maybe those that you are discipling. Maybe those that you are nurturing in the things of God. Or maybe those people that you see them and the devil feels like he has them, but you know you have prayed for them and say, no, they are not going anywhere. Reko subelege delebo shandelebai. Jamanagaba ruskov reke sendeliba dos kapai. Eleko senemenege delebosh kapande ruatena. What greater joy do you have than serving Jesus? What greater joy do you have than living for him? everything will fade. Has God called us to the world to just live for mundane things? No. All these things will be added. They will follow us. We are not supposed to pursue them. They will follow us. We will work. We will do things and we will get these things. But our priority must be Him. Our priority must be Jesus. I thank God for you always when I remember you in my prayer. Paul said, from the very first day, you gave yourself to God. You have partnered with us in the gospel from the very first day. Can you give God thanks for somebody? Mention somebody's name today. You probably had a challenge when you were coming to service. Listen to me, God is dealing with all those things. God has gone ahead. Deal with those things. There will not be anything to bother you again. Tell you the truth. That's why they call it the crown of rejoicing. In heaven, there is a special crown called the crown of rejoicing. It is called the soul winner's crown. Soul winner's crown. That is the joy. There is joy in heaven over one soul. I'm so honored and privileged to be amongst those that God is using. Where are you? Where do you fall in? Tell yourself, I join and I partner with the expansion of the kingdom in cash, in kind, in soul winning, in discipleship. I will not be left out. I will not be left out. I will not be left out. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, yeah. Every moment I'm away.
Lord, have your way. Have your way.
Lord, have your way.
One more time, say,
Lord, I give you my life.
Oh.
Give you my soul.
Lord, I live for you.
Lord, I live for you alone. Every breath that
let me remind you, church, that there is a calling upon our lives as believers to shine the light and be the examples that people will see. Be the example that people will see. God is calling us. Today I can give God thanks for the names of some people I remember in my head that God used to disciple, to teach me, to groom me. Let there be so many people. And let it not stop that they are just many years away. No. You also have to always have people so that almost every week, thanksgiving will abound on your behalf. Almost every week, thanksgiving will abound on your behalf. Somebody is thanking God. And when they are thanking God, they mention your name and say, Father, thank you for this person. Thank you for so thing they did for me. Thank you for the teachings. Thank you for investing in my life. Thank you for the fact that they keep calling me and encouraging me in the things of God. Let it be that you are known for good things. Let heaven have a record. There are times where certain things are coming to heaven's archives and they look and they say, no, not this one. Why? They say, if you know the amount of thanksgiving that abounds on behalf of this person. Don't allow negative things. Some people, they live their lives in such a way that the only thing that's remembered of them with negative things. Make up your mind never to be there. Make up your mind never to live that kind of life. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your sons and daughters. Thank you for the revelation of your word tonight. Simple, but I believe piercing into our hearts. Lord, I pray that these words, they will not just be things we have heard. This week, your sons and daughters will take action. They will reach out to people. They will be a blessing to lives. They will invite people. They will touch hearts in the name of Jesus. That God, heaven will remember us. And we'll always remember our good works, our good deeds, our works in righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, O God. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all that you are to us. If you are here tonight, you want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You have not made that decision to accept Jesus, or you probably decided at one time and you just know that I'm off balance. I need to make a rededication. I need to commit myself to God and start and be sincere with Him. Can you quietly raise your hand? I'm going to pray with you. If you are online, you can also indicate so that I can pray with you. Just do that very fast. Be bold about it. Very bold about it. Can you say after me, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. I declare that I am born again, saved, and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I want to challenge you this week. Give somebody opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus. Somebody, just share with them. Sometimes people are familiar with Christianese, but they are not Christians. They are familiar with the language of the church, but they are not part of the church of Jesus. You giving them that opportunity will help them. Are we here together? Give them that opportunity so that they can come to Christ. Give them an opportunity so that it can be a blessing and they will never forget you. And heaven will have something this week again that somebody is raising a voice of thanksgiving because of you. And I remind you, keep raising voice of thanksgiving on behalf of the people God has led you to be a blessing to. And you will not miss out of the blessings that will follow in the name of Jesus. I see somebody in the spirit tonight. While the message was going on, you had another burden in your heart. You had things that really bothered you and you were concerned. But somehow, in the course of the message, Jesus lifted the burden off your heart. Somebody, you got an answer when it got to the point where I mentioned that praying for others will bring the blessing. You will get your testimony. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. I know that we have desires, we have expectations, we have things that you have, you know, in your heart. The expectations of the righteous will not be cut short. The Lord is reaching out to you. He's bringing healing. He's bringing strength. He's bringing life. He's bringing opportunities. In the name of Jesus. And you will smile again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together. Celebrate Jesus, church.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.